changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Over the years, I have read a lot and thought a lot and studied quite a bit about why we are and why we do what we do. By the way, I have a great podcast I'd like to recommend if you haven't checked it out. It's called Hidden Brain. It's with it's hosted by a man named Shankar Vedantam. It's done by NPR. Hidden Brain. Check it out. It's why we do the weird things we do. Like, why do we tend to turn right when we walk into a business, not left, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things that has become more and more clear to me over the years is the power of storytelling in our lives. The story that was told to me as a child is that you cannot trust other people. Other people are out to hurt you. Other people are bad. How do I put this exactly? I guess the best way, and I've explained this before, my mother lived a good 50 yards away from her neighbors, and they were both in brick homes. So I can't imagine that she could say anything and her neighbors would hear. But my mother would always whisper when she talked about the neighbors, no matter where we lived. And so there is this story that was told in my mom's mind that, you know, neighbors are people that you can't trust. Neighbors are people you got to watch out for. Neighbors are people who are going to harm you in some way or your stuff. And I grew up with that message as well as a lot of other messages in my life. And I realized that my life mirrors the story I tell myself. Let me say that again. And the same is true for you. My life and your life mirror the stories we tell ourselves about our lives. I'm listening to The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wattles. I've never listened to it before, and it's really good. And it talks about how this idea, which I'd heard before, that there is one universal thinking substance. Everything is made from one substance, and that it is a thinking substance, and it vibrates with whatever story we tell ourselves. In other words, we probably all know people, we may have been such a person, where, you know, you want to get into a relationship, and I'm not speaking of you personally, I'm speaking of people. A person wants to get into a relationship, and then once they do, the story they tell themselves is that there's going to be trauma, drama, and ultimately it's not going to work out. Well, then, no matter how hard you work on the relationship, if that is the story that you are internalizing and telling yourself, that is the story you're going to live out. I saw the power of storytelling really playing out well a few months ago. I was in Kansas City, and so I stayed a few extra days, and I was hanging out with my friends, and I had breakfast with my prayer partner, Brian, who has been my prayer partner now for 12, they're going on 12 years. And so once a week, every Thursday, we get together for 45 minutes to an hour. We decided to do it live because I was in town. Now, I arrived, and when I got there, there was not a heck of a lot of parking, so I parked kind of on the side of the restaurant. The restaurant has parking all the way around it. There was no parking in front, and I got out of my car, and when I did, I started walking, and I saw my friend Brian's truck, and his truck is a very large truck. It's a Toyota Tundra. And he had backed it in, and he had backed it right up such that it unfortunately kind of covered the sidewalk. You could walk past it, but you had to kind of do this. Now, I got to Brian's truck just at the same time as a guy in a wheelchair with a, you know, veteran's stuff on got there. And I knew this was Brian's truck. And the guy started just cursing, GDSOB, inconsiderate, MF, Nobody thinks about people like me. Nobody cares about people like me. No one gives a S about me. Just think about this guy just ranting, okay? Because really, because of the where Brian's truck was, the guy could not get around it. He'd have to bump off the curb in a wheelchair. Anyway, I ended up helping the guy skirt around it. And the guy just kept going on and on, because I went all the way to the door and held the door for him, about what an inconsiderate SOB that must be. Now, he's talking about one of my very best friends in the world. And he's wrong. He's wrong. I know that Brian would not, because this guy kept saying they do this intentionally. People do this intentionally to block the sidewalk. And I was like, I know Brian. He's probably the most hyper-considerate person there ever was. So I sat down, we ordered our breakfast, and then I said to Brian, I told Brian the story, and Brian said, you know, the funny thing was, I tried to park as far away from the handicap spots. This guy, I don't know where he came from. He was not parked in one of the handicap spots. And the handicap, there were a couple of handicap spots available. I don't know that we're supposed to use the term handicapped anymore, are we? Disabled spots. Anyway, so the guy was not parked there. He was on a part of the sidewalk, and Brian had actually parked way around the outside of the building, knowing that his truck was big and he did not want it to get in anyone's way. That was his intention. So Brian's story was, I have a big truck and I have an obligation to try and make it less obtrusive for other people. So I'm going to inconvenience myself, making myself walk further by putting it further away from the front door. That was Brian's story, a story of being considerate. Now, the other guy was loaded for bear when he got there. I think this guy is used to having going to places and there not being ramps and things like this. And this guy was just ready to go off. And the thing that was interesting to me was not that Brian had parked his truck there, but that Brian, in this guy's mind, he didn't know Brian, but the whoever parked this truck there had done it intentionally, had done it with malice of forethought, okay, and actually thought, where can I park just to inconvenience a disabled veteran? I'm going to get him. That's the story this guy carried in his mind. Wow. There's a guy I know who started a nonprofit for supporting schools, and it's very, very, very successful. And he has grown from having one or two employees to having 100 employees to try and maintain this around the country, around the United States and Canada now. It's actually doing very, very well. And I asked him one day how he managed to stay so upbeat and happy with all the things that were going on around him. And he says, you just overlook things. He said, you can fixate on this going wrong and that going wrong. And more importantly, you can try and ascribe a motive to why someone would have done that. And in the meantime, you could have just taken care of it. You could have just skirted around it. One of the things that I've noticed that's changed in my own life over the last decade is that if I pull into a parking space, a parking lot, and let's say somebody is pulled in with a large vehicle, right? Like a big pickup truck. And they have taken over accidentally, in my opinion, two spaces, right? Not because they've parked dead in the middle, but they're so overlapped that I can't fit my car in, and doubtful anybody can, right? Well, decades ago, I would have gone, you GD, SOB, inconsiderate. My mind, and I told myself, that's harmless, just saying all that stuff. It's not harmless. It's not harmless. I've begun over the years to excuse other people, to, like in the movie Amadeus, I absolve you. I absolve you. I make an excuse for their poor behavior so I don't have to get caught up in the judgment. You know, I used to own a Ford F-250 dually pickup truck. That's a 6-wheel pickup truck. Big rascal. We used it to tow a handful of horses. And that thing was a bear to try and park. And I'm sure there were a lot of people who probably said nasty things about me. So why should I say it about others? Cutting other people slack, telling ourselves better and different stories, not getting caught up in what is or what we want it to be. Human beings, the way we are now, are storytelling entities. That is what we do. According to the book Sapiens, which I highly recommend if you've got 32 hours to listen to an audiobook or to read, but it's an amazing book. One of the key takeaways in that book, and I've shared this before, is that 10,000 years ago, there wasn't one type of human being. There were 6 different types of human beings all living in tribes here in the world 10,000 years ago. Now, what happened was one of them, one tribe, one group of human beings developed this prefrontal cortex in the front of their brains, which allowed them to think about the future rather than just living in the present. They were able to think about the future, strategize for the future, right? Homo sapien, thinking human. That is what we are. However, what people miss and what Sapiens talks about is that prefrontal cortex allowed people, human beings, Homo sapiens, to make up stories which inspired other people to follow them. And the stories were often seeing the other types of human beings as a threat. So Homo sapiens, with the capacity to tell stories, were able to spread stories amongst themselves that the others, the other 5 types of human beings, homos, were threatening and to plan to slowly and over systematically eradicate them. And that's why there's only us now as far as human beings goes. It's kind of a mind-blowing concept. The very thing that has allowed us to advance humanity and society with our brains, to visualize the way we want things to be, is also the things that has given us the capacity to develop us versus them, Republican versus Democrat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's the stories we tell ourselves. Oh, I guess it was 8 months ago, 10 months ago, I was sitting down and journaling and I said, so what if I lived in a happier, healthier, more loving, more collaborative world, more prosperous world than I have ever imagined before? What if I lived in it, but simply was not reacting to it properly? In other words, was telling myself, don't go talk to that person, be cautious, instead of go over there and make a friend, because people want to make friends with you. Instead of worrying about this, feeling confident about it, and just trusting that things are better than they were. And just that idea of beginning to move out of the matrix and to begin to think on my own and to begin to focus on more of what is good, what I'm grateful for, and to continually say to myself, excuse me, things such as, it makes perfect sense that person would be that way. For example, people that disagree with me about the vaccination, they're around here and they have all their non-science as to why you shouldn't get vaccinated and everything like that. And what I tell myself is, of course you feel that way. Based on the media diet that you receive, you're not a bad person. I can't label you. I'm not going to label you. It's the stories you've been told and the stories you repeat. All of this to come to the point of, what stories are you telling yourself? What stories do you have on repeat? And what new stories would you like to tell yourself? What is it that you've always wanted? What is it that's hanging out there? But at some level, you're telling yourself you can't, you don't deserve, it won't last if you do, it won't make you any happier if you do achieve it. when I struggled for so many years with being depressed and unhappy, it was hard for me to strive for things that I wanted because the story I told myself was, they're not going to make me any happier. I'm going to stay this negative, unhappy person. So I worked on becoming happy first. I worked on those stories I told myself. I think this is what the Bible means by seek ye first the kingdom of God. It means the kingdom of God is where everything is much better than you think. Happiness, it's people collaborating. And it is our mental attitude when we interact with other people that causes them to respond or to reject to us. So we need to tell ourselves better stories. We've shared the idea of instead of saying, I'm overwhelmed, to simply say, I got this. Whatever it is, I got this. I got this. I got this. A few weeks ago, I was playing pickleball every single day. I was working here at my desk. I would say that was pretty much it. I was going to the gym on occasion. But both of my wrists were starting to hurt, especially my right wrist, just really, really bad. My thumb, etc. So I went to a doctor. The doctor injected me with steroids in both wrists, did not help. Went to a chiropractor. He adjusted both wrists. Had massages twice. Did electrostim in it. Took ibuprofen, 2,400 milligrams a day for several weeks, laid off all the exercise completely, and my wrists got worse and worse and worse. And finally, I went to this doctor, and he x-rayed my wrists and told me that I had arthritis really bad in both wrists. Well, that makes sense. My mom had rheumatoid arthritis. I just, don't ever think of myself as being old enough to have arthritis. So his immediate thing was, the story he told himself was, this man needs to go to a hand specialist and have hand surgery. He needs to have them cut open his hands and work on his hands by cutting out this arthritis, grinding it out. And I was like, uh-uh. Now, I had literally at that moment tried everything, or so I told myself, and then I remembered, and I want you to take this in, and I want you to consider it. And I realize I'm saying it now publicly. I remembered a time when my wrists were hurting once before, and this was decades before. I'm not going to go and see about having hand surgery, all right? And so what I did was a combination of a couple of things. I Googled several things on how to exercise if you have arthritis in your wrists to relieve the arthritis. And I began to do these exercises every single day. In other words, the story I told myself was, I'm responsible for healing. I'm responsible for healing my wrists. I started taking these homeopathic pills that you put under your tongue. I started taking CBD gummies. And what else? Oh, the main thing is that I started meditating twice a day. 5 minutes. I added 5 minutes to my already 20-minute twice a day meditation skill as a practice to visualize my hands healed. What do I mean by that? I would see the tendons where I think they are. I would see the arthritis that I had seen on the x-ray and go through and mentally erase the arthritis, just mentally erase it, right? I would also see the red, sore tendon from my thumb to my forearm and that occasionally just stabbed me, and I saw it, and I saw it in my mind slowly go from red to lighter red to pinkish to light pink to just the same color. So I visualized the internal change. Then I got myself to do those exercises after I finished my meditation twice a day. And part of that meditation was seeing myself in the gym doing bench presses, because I haven't been able to do bench presses because that puts so much stress right here and here and here. Last night I did bench presses, y'all. I got rid of my mouse. I replaced it with a tracker, a trackpad. In other words, the story I told myself was, because if my mom would have said, oh, baby, you're going to have hand surgery. no, I'm not going to have hand surgery. I'm going to, most of the times, the story we tell ourselves is I've tried everything. And the answer is no, you haven't. Try more, do more. You'll be surprised at what you can accomplish. So what are the stories you're telling yourself? Tell yourself better stories. Once upon a time, there was a better, brighter, happier, healthier you starting right now.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high.